Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the BB Powerhouse podcast. This is our 50th podcast, so I guess we have to go big or go home here. But my name is Thomas Bendit. I'm the manager of BT Powerhouse and excited to chat some Big Ten hoops. It is the afternoon, at least for us on the East Coast, the afternoon here on Christmas Eve during the holiday season here. I was kind of toying with the idea of posting some kind of thoughts here on the Big Ten, how things are shaping up. But I decided, hey, I haven't done a podcast in a while. Got a little bit behind on that with all the chaos that comes with the time of the year. But we're back getting a podcast here. You know, for those of you traveling, hopefully it makes your traveling a little nicer. And, you know, if you're just hanging around with the family, I guess you'll have something to listen to, or hopefully. But again, I'm Thomas Bendit, and let's just jump into this. We don't have any guests today, so I'm just going to kind of roll through the Big Ten here and what's been going on. The big thing to start from just a broad perspective, you know, for those I'm sure who have been following certain teams, this has been a very erratic year so far, and the big example I use, you know, a perfect example, you know, team wise is Ohio State. You know, the Buckeyes started the season, you know, in really rough fashion. You know, they lose 3 of their first 5 home games, they lose 4 of their first 6 games, and they're sitting at 2-4. You know, they win 2 more, and then they get blown out by UConn on the road, and they're sitting at 4-5 in mid-December. You know, really a team that people are writing off, you know, selling to no other. They come back, they win 3 games, including a massive upset of Kentucky in New York, and really, you know, got new life. You know, a team that has new life now, but you know, they're really indicative of how this whole Big Ten season has gone. You know, 1 week a team will be on top of the world, and the next week, you know, they're losing to Samford at home, or they're losing to Monmouth at home. You know, Ohio State lost to Louisiana Tech and Texas Arlington at home. So, I mean, it's been crazy, to say the least. You know, it hasn't all been bad. You know, as Ohio State, you know, beat Kentucky, it's been a real mix. I do think, you know, in terms of, you know, if we're talking strength and weakness, you know, conference comparisons, you know, everybody likes to talk about who's the best conference, who's trending up, who's trending down. I definitely think the Big Ten looks weaker than we kind of anticipated before the season, but it's still a solid conference. You know, it's really, the upsets have really killed things so far, but, you know, KenPom still has it as the 3rd strongest conference. I tend to agree with that. I think the ACC has a bit of an edge, and I think the Big 12 just, from top to bottom, it is the strongest conference this year. But yeah, it, you know, again, it hasn't all been bad. It hasn't all been good. It's just been kind of up and down for everyone all over the place. But, you know, I guess to kind of spin off of that, I kind of wanted to go through the conference, kind of how I see it, how things are sort of shaping up a little bit. You know, starting right at the top, I think, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, the Big Ten and sort of tiers, so to speak, I think the top tier has 3 teams right now, and those teams are Maryland, Michigan State, Purdue. I think those teams have separated themselves. I think they've all played well. You know, statistically speaking, Maryland's probably the weakest of the 3, but even then, the Terps have been coming on lately, and you know, considering how well Maryland plays at home, I absolutely think the Terps can win the Big Ten, you know, as they were predicted to do before the season. But I think between those 3, it's going to be a really fun battle. I think all 3 are serious contenders, you know, to go deep in March, to be honest. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think any of them is going to win the national championship or even make the Final 4. You know, it's always a game that far into the tournament. But I think you have 3 really good teams that can really contend for big things. You know, Purdue, obviously, everything starts up front with A.J. Hammonds, Isaac Hawes, and, Caleb Swan again, Michigan State. I know Denzel Valentine's out right now, but probably the National Player of the Year. And then Maryland, from top to bottom, very well could be the most talented team in the country. You have Mel Trimble in the backcourt, Jake Layman on the wing, Robert Carter, Diamond Stone up front. I think you have three teams that are very, very good. I think those teams have shown that they have a leg up on everyone else in the Big Ten. And frankly, I'd be pretty shocked if one of those teams did not win the Big Ten regular season title this year. But yeah, that's kind of how I see the top sorting out. The next phase, I think you have Iowa, Indiana, Michigan in some order. I would call them tier two teams. Iowa's look solid. They've also let a couple games slip away. I'm curious to see kind of how they deal when they face some of the higher end teams. I know they played against Iowa State well, but obviously they had the late game collapse. And really, I wrote about this earlier this week for Today's U, but Indiana and Michigan have been very similar this year. I know Indiana and Michigan fans will really hate that comparison, but really, they both have one solid win. They haven't beaten any great teams. They've blown out some other teams, and they've really been pretty underwhelming away from home, both of them. But I think they're sitting in pretty similar places, and where I think they sit is I think both are pretty safe bets to make the NCAA tournament, but I don't think either is a safe bet at all to even make it to the second weekend. But I think both are solid teams. I think both are top 40 teams. But it'll be interesting to see how that sorts out. I think those three teams are battling for fourth, maybe third if things fall, perfectly. But I think that's where you're going to see those three teams. Sort of my tier 2B, I would say, is Northwestern. I've written about this as well. I don't think you can really say whether Northwestern is good or bad right now. They're a complete question mark. They played one good team. They lost. They were competitive against North Carolina when they played them, but really, really haven't played anybody. You can't get a feel on where that team is. So I just due to that and the fact that they've played some of those games against, Columbia, DePaul, Virginia Tech really tight, I wouldn't put them just a tad behind Iowa, Indiana, Michigan. Behind those three, what I would put as my tier three, I think, are Ohio State, Wisconsin, Illinois. I think those three teams in some order are going to finish there, barring the Northwestern, question mark, because, Northwestern could be a lot weaker than we think. We'll have to wait to see on them. But really, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Illinois have sort of all been similar as well, comparing to that Indiana-Michigan situation. But all three have lost some tough games. All three have looked solid in some games. And all three do seem to be starting to come into their own now, which will be really big, with Big Ten play here just a few days away. And then finally, I think you have your bottom groups. I think Penn State, Nebraska, I would put sort of off on their own, and then Minnesota a notch below Penn State and Nebraska, and then way down Rutgers. I won't talk about these teams as much. I don't think anybody's really expecting much out of them. I think, before Nebraska lost to Samford, I was really a big fan of what the Cornhuskers were doing, but their resume is just really weak now. Penn State does look like they're starting to trend up a little. And out of those four teams, I think Penn State is the one that's most likely to upset some top teams in the Big Ten. I think they're going to get a couple upsets, but none of those teams I really expect to even make the NIT or even make a serious run. But Penn State is one I would keep a little bit of an eye on. But moving on from that, a couple tidbits I kind of wanted to jump into here on the podcast since we've been away. The first is the whole Bo Ryan situation. For those who haven't been following the news, I guess, Wisconsin's longtime head coach, Bo Ryan, decided to hang it up and step away. He did a very unusual mid-season retirement. I know Steve Spurrier for South Carolina football did a similar thing, but a pretty rare event. And on top of that, he did it on like a Tuesday night against Texas A&M Corpus Christian. Not a game you would typically anticipate, would be the last game for really a Hall of Fame level coach. But that's what happened. He decided to step down. I guess to kind of give my thoughts on it, Bo Ryan's sort of drawn some criticism for this decision. I think all Wisconsin fans do realize that he's a very high level coach. I'll say it, he's the best coach Wisconsin's ever had. He's certainly the most successful that's ever been in Madison. He's sort of earned his status at the school, but a lot of people feel, I shouldn't say a lot of people, the critics feel that, maybe Bo Ryan wouldn't have done this, if his team was in the top 25, looked like, it was like last year's team, something like that. And, some people are saying this is a move to get his assistant, or former assistant, I should say, Greg Gardin, who is conveniently now the interim head coach. The first point I would say is I don't agree at all that he's only doing this because Wisconsin is, they're 8-5 and they aren't looking outstanding. I think Bo Ryan hinted pretty strongly last summer, last spring, that he wanted to retire. I really think this is something he's been thinking about for a while. And there's a lot of off the court stuff that happened with Greg Gard last summer, but I think Bo Ryan has wanted to retire for quite some time, and I think he thought this was the right time. So I don't really buy into the, if the team's good, he wouldn't have done it. The other point, which a lot of the critics are making, is that this was all a ploy for him to get Greg Gard the interim job. I do agree with. I absolutely do. I think this is a move to force Barry Alvarez and the athletic department to give Gard a legitimate chance and get him some time in the program, see what he can do on the recruiting trail, see what he, how this program is trending, in March, in April, when theoretically they would look for a new head coach. So I do buy that. This is really one of those situations I can see both sides. I think Bo Ryan should have a right to be involved in the decision process on the next coach. But at the same time, Barry Alvarez shouldn't have to just commit, himself to Gard, because, there are some big names out there that might be interested in the job. The big one, obviously, Tony Bennett from Virginia. He has a background in Wisconsin. There are some questions about, will he come back? Will he not? I think if you're Alvarez, I've said this a couple of times, I think you have to kick the tires. You have to give him at least a look. You got to chat to him, because Virginia right now they're a legitimate top five program nationally. They're winning, ACC titles. They're contending, for Final Fours, so on and so forth. Or at least generally speaking, they are. So I think you have to at least kick the tires on it, at least give him a chance, at least talk to him. If he's not interested, then yeah, I think you do go with Gard. I think he has the background, and really, I think he has the support of the players, and obviously the former coach, arguably the best coach you've ever had. So I think it's an interesting situation, but I can understand both sides. And ultimately, I think next season, I think Gard is the head coach, and for opening tip. But it'll be interesting to follow, because nobody's quite sure about Bennett. He may or may not have interest. I don't think anyone's really looked into it, frankly, because nobody really thought Bo Ryan would suddenly retire in the middle of the season. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. A couple other things I just wanted to touch on. The first, Michigan State, they're number one in the country. Really, they're the favorites to win the conference. And one other thing I did want to mention, I put up an impromptu poll on Twitter, asking people who they thought would win the Big Ten. Got a lot of responses, and my options were Maryland, Michigan State, Purdue, and other, meaning, all 11 other teams in the Big Ten. And the results, Michigan State led with 38% of the vote, and then Purdue and other were tied at 22%, and Maryland had 18%. So Michigan State not only number one, but also the Big Ten favorite, at least according to my Twitter followers, so to speak. But the first thing I wanted to say is, you get a lot of questions anytime a team goes to number one. Are they a legit number one? Do they deserve to be there? You know, is this just kind of, well, we got to rank someone number one? You know, is it one of those situations, or is Michigan State legit? And, you know, I have a two-part response to this. I think the first thing you have to acknowledge is that rankings generally are just chaotic. You know, half the people are voting under this premise, half are voting under this premise. And what I mean by that is, if you're saying, is Michigan State the number one team in the country in terms of quality on the court, are they the best team? Personally, I don't agree with that. I don't think they are. I know Oklahoma had a battle last night, but personally, I think Oklahoma is the best team. And especially when you're talking, you know, a couple months from now, potentially, I don't think Michigan State's that top team in the country, you know, the most talent, so on and so forth. You know, I think Maryland has more talent than Michigan State this year. But, you know, that's a discussion for another time. But if you're saying on the court performance-wise, I don't think Michigan State's the top team. Now, if you're saying resume-wise, yes, I think Michigan State has the strongest resume of any team in the country. And I absolutely think if you're voting according to resume, they are the top team. So I think this is a team that they absolutely deserve to be ranked number one. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's totally reasonable. You know, there's no problem with putting Michigan State at one. I don't think they are, you know, basket for basket, the best team in the country, or whatever, you know, term you want to use there. But I don't have a problem with them being number one at all, you know, especially they're maintaining it now. It will be interesting to see how they play without Valentine. You know, they were in a battle with Oakland last night, and now they get a pretty tough Iowa team on the road. So that'll be a really interesting game. But yeah, I don't have a problem with them being at number one, and you know, they're in good shape to back it up here over the next month or two. And then the last thing I really wanted to touch on was a couple of the teams that are really underachieving. You know, I know I sort of went through the Big Ten to start off with here, but I did want to hit on just a couple of those teams before I take off. This will be a little bit of a short podcast, but I did want to get something out there. The big one I wanted to hit on was Illinois. You know, depending on who you talk to, Illinois has either been horrible this year, frustrating, underwhelming, you know, it all depends. But the Illini, they won last night on Wednesday, Christmas Eve, against Missouri in the bragging rights game, 68-63. They're now 8-5 overall. And, you know, for an Illinois team to finish non-conference play at 8-5, I know that's not going to excite Illinois fans. I know they're not sitting there going, yeah, you know, we're in perfect position and so on. Especially when you consider they don't really have any good wins. You know, their best win might be Yale. And I don't think people are exactly, you know, bragging about that as a great win. But this resume actually isn't that bad for Illinois. You know, I believe they're in, what are they? 6-2 since Kendrick Nunn is back. They've been playing well. They played Iowa State tough. They played Notre Dame tough. And I know neither of those teams looks like a top five team right now, but you know, they've been playing much better. And again, I know they're playing tight games, but for a bubble-ish team coming into the year, I think they've looked that way since Nunn has come back. But their worst loss is probably the North Florida loss. They're 139 on KenPom right now. Providence is 38. They lost there on the road. Chattanooga, 107. You know, and then obviously the Iowa State and Notre Dame games. But I don't think that I don't think this is a damning resume, is I guess my point, so to speak. You know, absolutely they're gonna have to win some games. And you know, they have two really big ones if they're going to have any chance at the NIT, any chance at the NCAA tournament. They definitely have a chance at the NIT. But they get Michigan at home, Ohio State on the road. You know, they have to split. You got to split those, especially because they follow that up with a road trip to East Lansing, and then they play Purdue at home. So those are probably two losses. So you need to finish, you know, at least 1-3 in that stretch. And then after that, again, it's one of those things where the Big Ten, that middle group is not as strong this year, and there are a lot of winnable games, a lot of beatable teams. So I think that's something to keep an eye on for Illinois. I know they haven't looked great. I know they haven't looked perfect, but I think that's a team that, if chips fall right, could really trend up. You know, again, if things fall right, and I'm not saying they will. You know, I honestly have a feeling they're going to lose maybe the first four in Big Ten play. But that is a team that, you know, they really struggled to open the season, but I think could do some damage. But with that, I realize this is sort of a rush podcast, a little short here, but I wanted to get something out there for all of you listeners. And outside of that, you know, Merry Christmas and everyone have a good time. I'm sure I'm trying to get another one back in the weekend, and we'll have a couple of guests on to chat about the next couple of weeks. But yeah, after that, you know, thanks to everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time, and enjoy your holidays.